I faced a mountain that I never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while, but Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I never have before.
Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe.
Forgive me, Jesus. I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. But this I will admit has brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord, and I'm not ashamed to say.
Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain trust you and believe.
Sometimes it takes a mountain.
Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain
to trust you and believe.
Jesus, glory to God. Would you just sing that chorus with us? Come on, sing it out this morning.
Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold. Your love is so much stronger.
Do you believe that today? You believe His love is stronger
than whatever troubles me? Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust You and be.
Would you sing? Would you stand and sing it with me? Hallelujah. Come on, sing it in faith.
Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold.
Anybody in a desert today? Come on, lift up a praise to Him in the middle of it.
Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me.
Thank You, Jesus.
Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust You in.
One more time. Sometimes it takes.
Sometimes it takes a mountain.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert.
Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.
To get a hold of me.
Your love is so much stronger.
Your love is so much stronger.
Thank You, Jesus.
Than whatever troubles me.
Thank You for Your love, Lord.
Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust You in.
Sometimes it takes
a mountain to trust You and believe.
My God can do anything,
anything.
My God can do anything.
He made this earth and all its fullness, and all that time shall bring. My God can do.
Come on, sing it, church.
Oh, my God can do anything.
Oh, anything,
anything.
Oh,
my God can do anything.
Thank You, Jesus.
He made this earth and all its fullness.
And all that time shall bring,
my God can do anything. this earth.
He made this earth and all its fullness.
And all that time shall bring, my God can do it.
You believe that this morning? Hallelujah. Come on, give him a praise. Lift up your voice and praise and put your hands together and praise him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Would you please turn in the scripture with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 18. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 18. Let's continue to play that if you will, Pastor Tommy. It sounds great. Hallelujah. My God can do anything. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, if you just need God to do something in your life, would you just lift your hand up no matter where you are? Say, God, I need you to do a fresh work in my life today. Hallelujah. God, move in me. Move in my life. Move in my situation. Hallelujah. He's able to do above and beyond you even ask or even think. He's able to touch you physically right now in the name of Jesus. I speak healing over you. I speak healing over your body. I speak healing over your emotions, over your mind. Hallelujah. I bind the enemy that's coming against you in the name of Jesus Christ. The devil's a liar and the father of lies. And I cancel those assignments of the enemy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray for the peace of the Lord that passes all understanding to come over your mind, to come over your life right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we speak over this atmosphere this morning. We speak over this atmosphere. We thank you for deliverance. We thank you for your power going forth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody feel that touch from the Lord?
He made this earth and all its fullness, and all that time shall bring, my God can do anything.
I want to talk to you this morning about keeping it real. Keeping it real. How many of you know we need to keep it real? Luke 18, beginning with verse number 9, says, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves. Who'd they trust in? Themselves. That's bad news, isn't it? They trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And verse 13 says, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so as much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask for a special anointing from heaven for the spokesman and for the hearer. We're asking for your anointing to rest on all of us, because without your anointing we can do nothing. Without you we can do nothing. So Lord, we come humbly. We come asking for your power and your grace to be distributed and poured out in this house. Receive all the glory and all the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. It is my desire that the atmosphere of this house would be an atmosphere where men and women, boys and girls can bring their brokenness, bring their pain, and it be a safe place. It be a place of healing, a place of deliverance, a place where somebody can say, you know what, I feel love in that house. I feel the love of God, and I feel the love of people. I feel the care and the love just emanating from them. It just flows from them. Amen? How many of you know that when a new person walks into the house, they can sense and they can feel whether that's the kind of atmosphere that they want to be a part of? And I just want to brag on you for a few minutes, because a number of times here in the last few months, the people that have come to this church for the first time, they tell me it's such a welcoming church. It's such a caring church. And I just want to say, you got to keep that up, because that really matters to people. It matters that we have an atmosphere that is safe. Amen? And no matter where somebody has been, no matter what they have done, no matter what kind of past they have had, they can come into this house and they can feel the love of God just being poured out upon them. And when the conviction of God begins to move, they don't feel condemnation. They feel the love of God's conviction reaching out to them and saying, this is a place where you can be healed, you can be touched, where you can be transformed in my presence. You see, the church, in case we have forgotten, exists to be a hospital to the hurting. Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous. In other words, he didn't come after those who think they've got it all together. He didn't come after those who are so religious they have no need for repentance. He didn't come after those who were so sanctimonious and pious and full of religion. He came after those who know that they're sinners and they need a Savior. They know that they're in a bad condition and they need help. They need change. They need transformation. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And before we can get healed, we have to get honest. Honest with ourselves and honest with God. Amen? And as a church, we have to be able to handle, to seek to handle one another's honesty. Luke makes it plain who he's talking to. He said in verse 9, he spoke this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Now, if you want to know whether or not you are being addressed in this parable, listen, let me ask you some questions. Do you ever look at people who don't go to church and think you're better than they are because they don't go to church? If so, Jesus is probably talking to you and me. Do you ever think about people who are in prison and think that you are better off than they are, better than they are because you're not there? Well, your situation may be better, but you're not better than they are. Do you ever look at people who've been divorced and think that you're better than they are? Like you just kind of put your nose up in the air? Because your marriage is so great that it can never get to the place of divorce. Whoa, wait a minute. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. None of us are immune from the attacks of the enemy. And none of us are immune from falling into sin. You've got to keep yourself in the love of God. You've got to keep yourself in prayer. You've got to keep yourself in the Word of God. It could happen to you. It could happen to me. It could happen to the person sitting beside of you, behind you, around you. If you're not careful, you could fall into sin. Are you hearing me today? Do you ever look down on your nose at someone for any reason and think you might be better than them? If so, Jesus is talking to you. I promise you, every one of you will find yourself somewhere in this story, because at one time or another, all of us are guilty of trying to impress God or others. What we have to learn from this passage is to keep it real. First of all, I want you to notice the Pharisee who fooled himself. Look at what he said in verse number 10 again. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee prayed within himself, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector." Boy, that was bold, just to look at the person beside and just throw him under the bus. What kind of a righteous person would do that? The Pharisee dotted every religious I and crossed every theological T. He went strictly by the book. He had a heart for religion. The problem was his religion had no heart. He is standing in the center of the inner court, right in the heart of the temple. And the reason he stood there is because it was where he could be heard the clearest and seen the best. He wanted everybody else to see him. He wanted everybody else to hear him. How many of you know that kind of spirit's not of God? The Spirit of God does not say, "Hey, look at me and look at who I am and what I have done." The Spirit of God says, "Look at him. Look at what he has done." Hallelujah. Now, the Old Testament only required a Jew to fast once a year on the Day of Atonement, but this man fasted multiple times a year, more than he was required, and he wasn't fasting from a pure heart. How many of you know that fasting is powerful if it's done with the right motive? But here he's fasting to be seen by men. Then we read that he tithed everything he possessed. Well, you know what? Tithing is great. Tithing is scriptural. We all need to tithe. That's another sermon for another day. But yet he thought his tithing was somehow going to earn him some brownie points with God. He wanted everybody else to know that he was tithing. How many of you know the scripture says, "Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing"? Right? We don't need to proclaim it from the housetop. It's about motives. What are your motives? The problem is, this man thought then what a lot of people think today. He thought his goodness gained him some extra brownie points with God. He thought God accepts a person based on what they do for him. He was religious and proud of it. Let me just stop here and make some application for a moment. If you are trusting in anything, church membership, church attendance, baptism, religion, good works, your giving, your tithing, other than Jesus Christ to make you right with God and to get God to accept you, you are fooling yourself. You've got to come by the way of the cross. You've got to come by the way of the blood. You've got to come to Jesus and be forgiven of your sin. It's time to get real with God. You see, this Pharisee, this Pharisee had an eye problem. Five times you read in this passage that little pronoun "I." He suffered from two problems, inflation and deflation. He had an inflated view of who he was and a deflated view of who God was. You know, that's backwards, isn't it? John the Baptist, when he came pointing people to Jesus. He said, "He must increase and I must decrease." And if we're going to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days, we've got to let them know that it's not about us, it's about Him. We're just sharing the message that He has given us. He must increase and I must decrease. As a matter of fact, that's my prayer every single week when I stand behind this pulpit. God, hide me behind the shadow of the cross. I pray they don't see me. I pray they see You. I pray they don't hear me. I pray that they'll hear You. May they hear the voice of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This Pharisee had fooled himself about himself. God, I thank You. I'm not like other men. Well, let me just say this right here. How many of you know that God's not called us to compare ourselves with other people? Other people are not the standard by which we are trying to measure up to. It is God who we're trying to measure up to. It is His standard that we're trying to get to. It's His standard. This man was even fooled about his prayer. He stood and prayed thus within himself. The Greek language literally says to himself. He was actually praying to himself. How foolish is that? When you approach God with pride, you wind up talking to yourself. That's a pitiful state to be in. Someone said the only person God sends away empty is the person full of himself. Prideful prayer is nothing more than an echo in your own ears. Secondly, notice the person who faulted himself. Notice the contrast here between this Pharisee and this tax collector. Tax collectors, as you know, hopefully you know, were the scum of society. That's why that they hated Zacchaeus so much. You remember the story of Zacchaeus? He sees Zacchaeus up in the tree. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste and come down. I'm going to your house today. And they criticized him, and they're always looking to find fault with Jesus because he was hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. Let me just tell you again, Jesus didn't come to hang out with the holy people. He came to hang out with those who needed him, who needed to be saved and to be redeemed and to be forgiven and to know what this wonderful life is that we call Christianity and to salvation and forgiveness and holiness. He came after those who were willing to say, yes, it's me, God. I need Your help. I need Your help. They charged excessive rates. They skimmed money, extra money off the top. They would steal from people constantly. No wonder everybody couldn't stand tax collectors. But how many of you know that God can take the most rotten sinner and turn them around and make something beautiful out of them? How many of you know that if he can take somebody like the Apostle Paul, who was killing Christians, who was consenting to their death on a regular basis, who was on his way to Damascus to receive letters to persecute even more Christians? How many of you know if God can change him on the road to Damascus and turn him around and use him like He did? How many of you know that He can change us? There is nothing too big for God. There's no mountain too big for Him. God is able to do above and beyond we even ask or even think. He can turn us around. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. This story takes a strange twist. You see, the Pharisee tried to impress God. But this man was just keeping it real. Turn to your neighbor and tell him it's just time to keep it real. Just keep it real. Let go. Take off the mask. Let go of the facade. How many know that we're not always doing well? We're not always doing great. How you doing? I'm doing great. Well, no, not always. What if we just got real sometimes? You know, I'm having a challenging day. It's not been a real good day, but I'm praising God through it. We'll just keep it real. And I'm asking you to join me in prayer. It's been a tough day. Just keep it real. Keep it real. Keep it real. You see, this is what impresses God, I believe. Humility impresses God. Write that one down. Humility impresses God. How do you know that? Well, Isaiah 66 and 2 says, "But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." You want God to look at you? You want God to pay attention to you? You want God to hear your cries? He hears the cries of humility, and humility impresses God. How many of you know that David had issues like all of us do? But he keeps it real. In Psalm 51, when he said, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, and according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." What was the context of that? The context was he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And yet he's saying, "Oh God, it's me. I'm the one that's in need of forgiveness. Nobody else is at fault for this. It's my fault. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." And he goes on to say, "Create within me a clean heart, O God, and renew within me a right spirit. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Hallelujah. He was keeping it real. Maybe that's why God still proclaimed that he was a man after his own heart, not because of all the things he had done, but because he was willing to keep it real and repent of those things and confess and get honest about what was going on inside of him. God wants us to get honest. That is where the healing comes, church. Hallelujah. You could hear it in his voice. You could see it in his eyes. You could see it in his hands. In his eyes, the Bible says he would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. The Pharisee was too proud. The Pharisee was too proud to look up. The tax collector was too ashamed to look up. You could see it in his hands. He beat his breast. In effect, he was saying, "I know that I have a filthy heart. I know that I'm not worthy. I know that I'm not fit for heaven. I know that I'm not fit to be in your presence." You could hear it in his voice. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." God heard his prayer. Jesus said, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." A highway to heaven. The highway to heaven is paved with humility. Now, on the outside, you would have thought the Pharisee was much closer to God, but on the inside, it was the tax collector that was closer to God. The Bible says in Psalm 34 and 18, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken and a contrite spirit. He saves such as has a contrite spirit." Would impress God so much, this man was willing to humble himself without waiting on God to do it for him. How many of you know if you're not willing to humble yourself, God will find a way to humble you? Let me say that one more time. I believe he gives us ample opportunities to humble ourselves before him. But if we don't, because of his love, you see, some people just look at, "Oh, God just being mean." No, God's not being mean. God loves you. He loves you. Hebrews 12 and 11 tells us that no chastening. The Lord loves those whom he disciplines. No chastening is joyful for the present, but painful. But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Because he loves you, he will bring you to that place of humbling you. I don't know about you, But I want to humble myself before the Lord. I want to keep myself humble before the Lord. Amen. Stay humble. Stay humble. Stay in humility before the Lord. The other thing that impresses God is honesty. In the Greek language, this man literally said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." The word merciful is a Greek word that goes back to the Hebrew word kippur, which literally means atonement. Yom Kippur literally means the day of atonement. An atonement means to cover, right? So what this man was really saying, I'm exposing my heart for what it is. It's sinful. God, will you come and cover me? That's all God wanted. That's all he wanted to hear. And that's all he wants to hear from you and me. Just keep it real. How many of you know that's not a one-time thing? It's an ongoing thing. I got to keep it real tomorrow. I got to keep it real Tuesday and Wednesday, next week and a week. Just keep it real. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Be who you are. Be who you are, wherever you're at. Keep it real. Don't be hypocritical. Don't be like the Pharisee. I'm telling you, we need to get the Pharisaical spirit out of the church. Keep it real. Take your mask off and keep it real. Hallelujah. And lastly, notice the principle that fulfills itself. Look at verse number 14. The principle that fulfills itself. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. He who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. The Lord Jesus draws a conclusion from this story that shocks his listeners. Remember that the Pharisees wore the white hats, if you will. The tax collectors wore the black hats. If you had taken a vote in that crowd as to which man was accepted by God and which man was safely in his kingdom, the Pharisee would probably have won hands down. That's because people were looking on the outward instead of on what was on the inside. You see, we need to learn it is not how you see you that matters. It's how God sees you. Amen? Did you know that you cannot, I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but do you know that you literally cannot see yourself, literally cannot see yourself without help? I heard this in the Tony Evans study this past Wednesday night, and I thought, I got to use that. That is awesome. You cannot see yourself without help. You've got to have what? You've got to have a mirror in order to see yourself. You don't know what you look like until you look at yourself in the mirror. How many of you know that we've got to have help to see ourselves spiritually? How many of you know that this is God's mirror for us? And as we look into this mirror, hallelujah, it makes me think of James chapter 1. He said, I want you to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And he said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Yeah, that's what he said, right? I want you to turn there with me just for a moment. I want us to read a little bit more of that. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Beginning with verse number 22. James 1 and 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, but he who looks into the mirror of God's word, he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Hallelujah. And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. In other words, you and I have got to keep ourselves in this mirror on a regular basis so that we can see who we are, right now and who we need to be. If you're not looking at this mirror, you're going to get sidetracked. You're going to let the world define who you are. You're going to let other people define who you are. But we've got to start looking into this mirror and keeping it real, because this mirror is going to tell us who we really are and who we need to be. Don't just be a hearer of the word. Be a doer of the word. This one will be blessed. How many of you want to be blessed? If you'll continue to look into this mirror and let it, let the reflection of the word come back to you, you'll be blessed in what you do. That's why David prayed in Psalm 139. He said, "Search me, O God, and try me, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in your way everlasting." That should be a prayer that we pray on a regular basis. Somebody's getting a call from heaven right now. "Search me, O God." If somebody can get to that phone and cut it off, that'd be great. Just hit a button on the side of it. Wonderful. "Search me, O God, and try me, and see if there be any wicked way, and lead me in your way everlasting." When you see God the way you should see God, then you will see you the way you really are. Isn't that what happened to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6? When he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he began to see himself for who he said, "Woe is me. Woe is me, for I am an undone." He said, "I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Woe is me. He was keeping it real. See, mercy is not what God pays you because you tell him you have earned it. Mercy is what God gives you when you admit to him that you need it. Aren't you thankful that God gives us mercy? When we cry out and say, "God, here I am. I don't always have it together. I need your help." God blesses when we get honest. Amen? There's a song, I think I might have shared this with you a couple of years ago. This song has really meant a great deal to me. It says, I'm going to read you the words, "Truth is harder than a lie. The dark seems safer than the light. And everyone has a heart that loves to hide. I'm a mess and so are you. We've built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do, bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. 'Cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy is waiting on the other side. If we're honest." If we're honest. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. Living life afraid of getting caught. There is freedom found when we lay our secrets down at the cross. At the cross. Bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. 'Cause love can heal what hurt divides. And mercy, not judgment, not condemnation, mercy is waiting on the other side if we're honest. If we're honest. And it goes on to say, it would change our lives. It would set us free. It's what we need to be. Honest. That's powerful, isn't it? Just keeping it real. You know, there's needs all over this house this morning. Of different assortments, different kinds. Some physical, some emotional, some spiritual. I think we just need to keep it real. I believe this altar ought to fill up right now with people who are just keeping it real. I believe this whole church should get in this altar this morning, and I just want to keep it real, God. I want to keep it real. I want to live my life this way. Would you come now? Would you come and join me in just a time of seeking the face of God, just keeping it real? If you don't want to come to the altar, then make an altar where you are. Just keep it real. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. To this one will I look. To this one will I look.